everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
I'm bloody brilliant, Alan. Back in the studio, Wednesday night. We've just had the biggest Vic event of the year. Keen to get stuck into it. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. A few days right after work where I just take a nap because it was a pretty big weekend. But I think we're getting through it, and yeah, looking forward to this pod. Bit going on, which is nice.
Before we get into the disc golf, how about hashtag manifest the million?
Oh, manifest the milli. Back-to-back blackjacks. Crazy. One hand away from the milli.
Yeah, it's like at 970,000 or something, I think.
It's wild. What do you do if you hit it?
You tap out. He's got to do it. He's got to tap out.
Yeah, you'd think so, but he's on such a roll. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder if he just changes his bottom line to like 800,000 or something like that. Just goes, all right, if I get this, then if I lose two in a row or something, I'm out. And just keep going until you lose two in a row at some stage.
How they get you.
Yeah, but as long as you're firm with your bottom line, then he can't go too bad. But you would be pretty sad. Imagine if he does get to the milli and then goes, nah, once I lose two in a row, then loses the next two, and then he's like, fuck, I actually had a million.
Yeah.
And now I've got like 760,000 or something like
that. He's got a mic drop. Delete his socials. I just want a full see ya. Like, just ghost this. Look, made a million. See you later.
The problem with it, though, is like he teamed up with some betting company too.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's got a bunch of other like sponsor things that have come on board.
Yeah.
Now that he's got a million followers. So if he just cuts out, then, you know what I mean? He's losing that stuff. He has to find some way to keep those sponsors and stuff alive.
This is true.
So I don't know. I'm keen. Hopefully he manifests the milli tomorrow.
So let's not give too much away. Obviously, we want to keep some of this material for our Tim Narkey podcast coming to you shortly.
Exactly. I tell you what, though, it is such a big deal now. Like, if I see someone, because there's a few people I know who are on it, and they'll message me about like today's one, and if I haven't seen it, and if they've given me any spoilers, I'm fucking genuinely dirty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm genuinely dirty about the Tim Narkey spoilers, which I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
All right, well, we better get stuck into it. You've got a teething child inside, so this could end at any moment.
It really could.
We'll jump right into the Champions Cup before we get into the Vic Open stuff. So first, PDGA Major of the Year for the MPOs. And bang, it was a pretty sexy one.
It certainly was.
So hardest course in the world. Hardy's played it firsthand and can tell you that it's abominable. Anyway, it's horrendous. And the fact that you've got some of the best disc golfers in the whole world and only 20 of them managed to go under par for the event, a fifth of the field is pretty hectic. That's saying something.
Yeah, wild. I obviously haven't caught up on much of the last round. Obviously, been at work on the Monday, but did watch, obviously, as I was slowly getting up in the morning while we were down in Inverleigh over the weekend. I was keeping abreast of the couple of rounds, and yeah, she's brutal. Dog legs left, right, and center.
And it wasn't it wasn't anyone charging from the start. Well, there was people charging from the start, but no names that we sort of really would be backing in home. Like, coming into the final round, dudes at the top, or in the mix at least, you know, Andrew Presnell, Joey Buckets Anderson, and Casey White three of the big dogs.
And Ezra Robinson.
Yeah, and Ezra Robinson. They were like four of the guys out of the top sort of six or something that you're thinking might win it. You're sitting there and you're looking at Ricky a few back and you're like, there's no way. If Ricky's nearby and these are the only people ahead of him, I was just assuming Ricky was going to shoot something hot and he was going to win it. But that's that old school mentality, I guess, that we just assume that these more unfamiliar names are just going to get rolled in the end. But some of these dudes can ball.
Definitely. And yeah, what a massive victory by the press.
Huge. Heard a couple of wild stats during the coverage. I think it's so. This is the first time he's ever been in the top 10 at a major.
Yep.
And wins it.
Yep.
And I think another stat I heard was that he is the lowest rated player to ever win a major.
There you go.
So since Greg Barsby won Worlds was the next closest, I think.
I'm just having a look.
So 10.
Just having a look at his 2024 season, and obviously I'll pull out just the Pro Tour events. Chess.com, 17th, so top 20. Waco, 23rd. Open at Austin, 24th. So pretty consistent there to start the season.
Yeah.
Then he dropped to 46th for Texas, 51st for Jonesboro, out of the cash at Jonesboro, and then back to 17th at Music City Open, and then he followed that up with the major victory.
Insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, very solid. Yeah, I didn't realize he'd been playing that good. But yeah, never really in the mix. And wins it comfortably, like 4 strokes,
yeah.
15 under.
Coasting.
Like I said, only 20 people went under and he's fucking 15 under.
Do you know what I love to say in this situation?
What's that?
In a canter.
In a canter. I love it. he just looked confident and composed as well. So I end up being able to watch the last handful of holes. And he had the nice lead. And yeah, you got Ricky right behind you. Antler, who's won this year. Ezra have been playing great. Calvin was charging all of a sudden. But he just kept cool. Just made good putts, threw good lines. And yeah, he got birdies late when he, you know, all he needed was pars, but he's just getting birdies. And it's like, whoa. It got to a point where we had to sort of just be like, oh, okay, well, he's won. A couple of holes left, and he's like, well, there's no way he loses now.
So good. So good.
Yeah, I was very impressed with him.
You know how we love the new PDGA system? And how,
best.
How good their statistics are. This is what I can tell you about the Prez. I can't tell you a single stat about his first round. Because, like, it's obviously, they put these volunteers, they would put them on feature cards. I don't know. It's just obviously nothing like the UDIS system. But he's got stats in for the rounds 2, 3, and 4, but no stats available for round 1 because he just wouldn't have had a statistician with him.
Yeah, why would they be looking?
Ridiculous. But went 100% from C1 in round 3, 12 from 13 in round 2. And then, yeah, even could afford to miss 3 C1 putts in the final round and still get the job done.
Wow. Yeah, very impressive for the Prez. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. Whether it's sort of a blip in his usual radar or if he's really working on a hot season.
Yeah, true that.
But Nicholas Antola, his second time in 2 years, coming second at a major. And Ricky Wysocki in third, tied with Ezra Robinson. I think Antola actually had to hit a pretty big putt on the final hole to get that outright second. Otherwise, it would have been a three-way tie for second there. So nice on him. And, yeah, Calvin with another really good tourney there in fifth. And then just a lot of familiar names. Matty Oram just always finds himself up there. He's always there, Matty O. I swear he was never, like, a factor the whole weekend. But a 62 final round? Holy shit.
Outrageous.
10.56 rated, and he's like, yo, what's up?
Yeah, outrageous.
Top 10, baby.
Oh, that's the other thing the bloody linear rating system. How was Casey White's round 1 rating? What was it again?
Yeah, not good enough.
Not good enough. What did he shoot again? So he ends up finishing the...
He was neg 7.
Yeah, he finished the event neg 4. But he went neg 7... Yeah, round one, which was a couple of shots better than the next best, outrageous shooting, and it only came in at 10:58. Just absolutely robbed.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Like, that's such a good score. Next seven. Calvin in fifth finished on next seven.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a good score. We've said it once, we've said it 100 times. The linear rating system just does not work. Like, I'm pretty happy with how the ratings shake out in general. But when someone's extremely good or extremely bad, it just isn't right.
Yeah.
Joey Anderson held on for six, which is nice. And Gannon just found himself another top 10 as well. And Pimic B keeping it hot, staying in there in the top 10 with Robert Burridge, who we haven't spoken much about in forever, I feel like. And AB. What else stands out to you?
It's just more familiar names, isn't there? Once you get up there. But what does stand out at me is the season Joey Buckets is having. I'm just having a quick look at his PDGA. He has made more money this year than what he made in like 2019, 2020, 21, 2021 combined. Something crazy like that.
Yeah, wild. I believe
he's already made more money than what he made in 2022, which was a full touring season for him. And he's fast approaching how much money he made in the entirety of 2023. So he's having a year, young Joey Buckets.
Yeah, crazy. Never heard of him ever before, and now all of a sudden he's been on like 5 league cards this year. So well done with him. I see Ezra Aderholt as well in round 3 shot the course record, I heard, which is a negative 8. So he shot a 61.
So good.
Which is pretty nuts. That got him plus 2 overall.
Yeah.
That's just how brutal this course is. Who we got? Looking at last caches there, we've got Evan Smith, Parker Welk, Luke Humphreys sneaking in, Raven Newsom. And who we got missing out? Oh, yeah, this was pretty funny. So they made the cut line for the final day, whatever it was, plus 5 or something overall.
Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't the cash line. So 4 dudes came out the next day and did not get cash.
Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. It's very odd. You'd think you'd figure out how many make cash, and then that's how it works out. Unless they end up just being a hectic tie for There must be a hectic tie for, you know, whatever was going to be the cash line. But then I don't know. Do you just shorten that?
Yeah, I don't know. There was 5 people tied for the top 40, and so they obviously pay. Yeah, you can't make, this is a professional sport. That's an oversight. I didn't know that until you've pointed it out, but you've made them play an extra day of golf. What that prevents them from doing, it prevents them from getting to the next event and prepping for that event. They've come out and they've worked for free.
Yeah, for sure. So it's a weird one because they could have played better and they could have made cash. Like, this dude, Raven Newsom, shot a 70 final round, and he moved himself well up and managed to get that last cash. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just a little odd.
Yeah, definitely.
Just a little odd. If you know you're not going to pay that many people out, then, I don't know, maybe just shorten that final day cash line.
Yeah.
And if you end up having a little bit of extra cash, then just spread that out amongst the boys, so... I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. Stops you from heading off to the next one. It's next week, so like... what do we got? Missing cash. Any... Kevin Jones, is he doing anything this year? Like, is he just done? Or
I think...
Or am I just crazy?
He's going to retire.
He's going to retire.
Yeah.
Well, he's way down there.
Ben Callaway.
Oh, jeez. Big drop off there, Ben Callaway.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, we've got to win.
Eagle McMahon.
Yeah, so did he end up even finishing or was he a DNF?
No, he finished.
Yeah, wow.
Round 1, plus 5, round 2, plus 9, round 3, plus 12, 970 golf. You know what they say? Hashtag one of us.
One of us. I like it. Yeah, technically, I think last year when he came back from injury, he, what was it? Oh, no, it was 2 years ago. He came back from injury and then he wins the European Open. And now he comes back from injury in millionth place. Times are changing.
He took a 10. He took a 10 on the infamous hole 12.
Yeah, well, that's doable. That's pretty doable. That hole's oofed. Brutal. Oofed. over in the FPO side, we have Evelina continuing a pretty hot season. And, one stroke victory over Hannah and Own. So, nice going there. And then Silva Saarinen, who I spoke about last week, I think, was one to keep an eye on. She's right there in fourth and Tatar in fifth. So, not bad going by the ladies, but I think, what was it, Evelina's hot round in round three was enough to sort of really get it done for her. But I think it played under 1,000 rated. So, we were talking about the FBO's sort of stepping their game up and you really having to play 1,000-plus rated golf to get the W, but not so much here.
993 was enough to get it done for Evelina. Great event by Rachel Turton out of the UK. She was up.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned her before.
Yeah, because she was up and about. She was on the lead card. She had some good performances last year while the tour was over in Europe. We've got some mutual friends, so just like her name always catches my eye. But yeah, she made lead card and ends up finishing sixth in a major. Absolutely huge. Confirmed by one of her teammates at the Vic Open this weekend that she's going to be coming over for the WIFDIF team event and representing the UK. So look out other teams. You've got a gun coming over to represent the UK by the looks of things.
Big. Very big. We've got Paige Pierce down in 30th. And Hayley King. Where did I see her? I lost her
didn't
name,
make the,
but it was pretty bad
cut.
Too.
I didn't Oofed. Think. Yeah, 32nd.
Yeah, 32nd. Yikes. Not so good. And Kat Mersch with a DNF. So I think she's going through some stuff. I saw a bit of an Instagram post or something from her. So hopefully better things from her next week. But another one in the books. Well done to Evelina and to the Prince. Yeah. Who are your chips?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask. Do you know what? My tip in the MPO was good. It was looking good after a couple of rounds. I went Cole Rodalin. And the MPO, he ended up finishing top 20, I thought. Maybe not. No, he ended up finishing 26th. 26. That's sad face.
It's not ideal.
He had a couple of good rounds. Round one was even. Then round two was -3. He was -3 after two rounds, which put him well and truly in the mix. But then he went +1, which didn't hurt him. But the +5 to finish hurt him. Who'd you tip in the men's?
I took Tricky Ricky.
Good get.
The scramble king on the hardest course in the world. So, panned out pretty good for me. Got a third place. Not mad at that.
Yeah, nice.
And in the FPO, I went with Missy Gannon. Big money Missy. And she let me down. Not bad. Like 7th, but yeah, I don't know. I expected more from her.
I went arm spewing because I did a bit of deep diving here. And I went with a European in Haide Lane. And her final round was a -5.
Oh.
Yeah, I wish she had put a bit more of that golf out there throughout the week because she finished the event +4.
Yeah, wow.
With a -5 in there. So anyway, I thought I was onto something. I wasn't onto something.
Good enough for 9th, though. Yeah. That's not bad. All right, let's turn our attention to the big one of the weekend, the Vic Open, the biggest tournament on the Vic calendar, stop number 3 or something like that for the Vic Tour. I was unfortunately unable to make it but I've heard it was great.
True.
Yeah, it was a funny story though. I met a junior when I was out on the just having a practice round, just a junior that was real keen to have a crack, but was like 10th on the waiting list. So I thought he'd never get in. I said, oh, you know what? You can have my spot, young fella.
Play as an alias.
So yeah, I said just use my name. Like I can't, you know, it'll look sus if I try to change there to juniors or something like that. But I said, you just use my name and you do the best you can. And he tried.
Nice. So. I see.
But anyway, we'll get to
not
that.
Bad. He nearly got a birdie round two.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So there was one junior, Tobias Weber, and let's see how he played. 795. Oh, he played great. Three rounds above rating, so no one to battle against, but just against the course. And yeah, looks like he shot really well. So well done there, Tobias.
And a plus 14 when he was on the golds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh really? Oh yeah.
Shot
wow.
Well. That's good.
Good. That's good, good golf. And the MA4s, I think we might have even picked this one, did we? We had Chu Tran getting it done.
Yeah, he definitely was on our list. That's a good victory. Got to coast home in a canter in the end. But a battle of Melton in MA4, just an absolute battle of Melton. Melton take down the podium. Chu, Damien, and Ash Brookers, all been mentioned on the pod before. Good win, Chu.
Yeah, big. Love that. Looks like Melton is the chump capital of Victoria.
It was bound to be. Bound to be.
In MA3, I must be looking at some wrong score because the leader is 11 strokes ahead of second place. Michael Woolley with a very impressive tournament. So just out of nowhere, I think 865 rated guy from Jindy. And
just having a look at his PDGA profile, no picture. That's like pretty anonymous of him.
Yeah, he looks real anonymous, does he?
It looks real anonymous. Why does he not have a photo?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. He's just trying to get stuff started, maybe, with the no photo. Yeah. Just trying to get a conversation going.
Who knows? He's probably just trying to get a conversation going. You're right. Absolutely shellacking. Quite a low PDGA number is one thing that jumps out at me. PDGA number 145,000. I mean, it's not low as low goes.
But low for MA3.
Lowish. I mean, Lewis is 137, but I think you would find most players in the field would have a PDGA number starting much higher in the ones or indeed in the twos. But I actually got to meet the young man, and he's been in and out of injuries, and so he hasn't been playing that consistently. He got into disc golf a little while ago, and then he cooled right off, and he's kind of just coming back into it.
Nice. Well, I think a plus five or something on the golds, right?
Yeah. 68? Plus four.
Whack. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, Ken Golf fished a disc out of a lake for me at one stage during one of my rounds. I had him, like, following us around roughly. Good guy for sure. And, can play. And he said to me at dinner at the pub one night when he was going in with a huge lead after the first two rounds that he'll stay true to his word around – if he gets a victory this season, he'll jump up.
There you go. Watch out, MA2.
Look out, MA2. Exactly.
Yeah, the aforementioned Lewis Penhole and Bradley Maynard tied for second place. And Mitch Evers, who was right there or thereabouts, sort of just sneaks out on the podium by one stroke. So well done there, Mitchy boy in fourth. The final round got him. Lost six strokes to the boys.
Yeah, and he doubled the 18th.
Oh, really? Not ideal. So it could have been a good one, but let one slip. If you're only shooting three strokes better on the white than the gold, then you're either having a blind of gold or a rough white. Looks like he had a rough white. And what else we got there? Matt Hunter was there in seventh. And Ash Wiedner, Max Tatz gets in there for a top 10. Dave Gannon, yes, he let us down. Shocking final round. We thought Mitch let one go. Dave was up and about too for a bit, so a bit of a shame there.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know, he like talked a bit of talk around the poker table as well, and didn't seem to know how to play poker either.
Yeah, his ears pricked up pretty aggressively when he heard there was poker going, just to go out pretty early. In the FA2, we had...
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah, definitely. Much closer battle here. One stroke only separated Kate Eldridge from Anita Webber. So, well done there, Kate.
If I'm doing the maths here correct, after 16 holes, they were a dead heat.
Ooh,
of the final spicy round. Yeah. And then, yeah, in the end, Kate gets it done by one. So, just an absolute ring-a-ding-ding.
Big. Very, very nice. What about the MA2? What are you seeing there?
This is sandbagging at its finest is what it reads like. It's what it reads like. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wowee. What did he do on the gold? Sam Stoyer. Oh, but didn't it? Yeah, plus seven. That's fair enough. Not awful, but not great. But he just dominated the white course, didn't he? Minus two round one, and a minus six final round. I try to get in his head too. Probably an honourable mention, not light for myself. But I caught him on hole 10, and he obviously, if you look at his front nine, he had the boys gapped, and so there was a bit of a battle playing out for second, and all those four boys were on the same card together. So we're just having a bit of a yarn, and I just gave Sam a bit of grief, saying you can't lose it from here, and turns out I was right. You can't lose it from there.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 strokes. Big Sammy Stoyer gets it done over Narada, who we were talking about was heating up. So good that he didn't let us down there. And Austin Palia and our boy James Honeyman with all three of those tied for second place.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, nice and cute.
And then you got Brett, Penn... just what an Eagles representation, you know. You won't find many of us in some of the higher divisions, but God, do we take out these lower divisions in waves.
Yeah, we do. Brett Zeeble with a late charge to first round, shocking. He same deal. You don't want to be shooting better on the golds than the whites, but he had a one better score on the whites than he did his first round golds, which is pretty outrageous. But cleaned it way up, 12 strokes better round three than round one. So big charge up the leaderboard. If he had have just been able to scrap together a half decent round one, he could have been in the mix as well. So, and in the MA50, our boy Jeff Brunsting was in it all weekend. He was right up there at the tippy top, I think, first after round one, and he was pretty worried about his chances on the golds. Jason Brown can sling, Lotus Kingston can sling. I don't know much about Roland Kashula, and I don't think he did either, but JB and especially Lotus was a big concern on the golds, but nothing to be concerned about. He Jeff stumbled a fair bit, but they all stumbled almost as much, so he was T2nd going into the final round, and it wasn't until real late that he got his first bogey. So held in nicely, but ended up with third place. So Jason Brown comes over from WA and gets the W with a very hot final round, to be fair. And Roland Kashula 2nd, Jeff in 3rd, and Lotus Kingston in 4th. So big get the old man beating Lotus, because that man can play.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a cool final round by your dad. Going 15 holes, just 15 straight pars. That's amazing. I don't know if I got 15 pars for the weekend.
Yeah, a bit like that. All right, in the FA40. So I think we might have called this one too with Carol Hartley.
Yeah.
So closer than we would have expected though, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, Sue came chasing, but Carol probably had a few to work with, and maybe she was realizing that she could just bogey out for the win, then pad the stats a bit. But yeah, good victory by Carol, coming down from Canberra.
And that's two from two this year. I feel like it's more three from three now. Sorry, I was gonna say I feel like it was more, but yeah, Molong Cup and the Sizzler, so back to back majors now. So look out.
Look out.
In the MA40, it was a tight one as well. Did you hear about much of this?
I did hear a bit about this. Three-way tie with one hole to play is how I've heard it.
Yep.
And then what happened? Was it a three-way playoff?
No, not quite. But it have been a no-way playoff from what I'm hearing. So I think Al Don threw one of the worst shots anyone has ever thrown on hole 18, is how I'm hearing it. So deep left, and they're on the whites.
Yep.
So they're not even throwing from that back tee pad. So deep left, real shocking position. Apparently managed to step out and throw an incredible forehand roller. Problem now is it's charging towards the OB out in the fairway. And you wouldn't believe it, but he middled an OB stake, which kept him in bounds.
Amazing.
And then he threw what can only be described as a monster upshot. Because if you're throwing a forehand roller out from that left gap, there's only so far left you can end up be. Like, he's got to be pretty far back down on the 18th fairway. And I heard he threw it up and hit the rocks under the basket.
Amazing.
That's a crush.
Yeah.
So all of that just to end up a tie with Lee Thompson. I think Timmy Ware might have taken a bogey somewhere there on 18.
He did.
And, yeah, I think they went to a playoff, but Lee Thompson got it done.
I think it may have gone on for a couple of holes, potentially, the playoff.
Yeah, it could be. I don't remember that part.
Yeah, I have some info. I have some info. Let's
you
see.
You have some info.
Yeah, I've got the goss. Where is it at? Lee Thompson. He let me know. All right.
He let you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
Story unavailable. You're killing me. This is where the real drama was. He was five behind, right? With six holes to play.
Oh, big.
And managed to win a two-person playoff. Maybe it was only a one-and-done hole. But, yeah, he was five down with six to play. Gets a couple of birdies down the stretch. Al Don goes double bogey, bogey. Catches him up. Five-shot swing. And then gets it done in the playoff. Well done, Thompson.
Hectic. Hectic. Very nicely. Our boy Tony was there as well, coming to fourth. Not a bad little event there for Tony.
Yeah, not bad at all.
In the FA1, we had Georgia Carroll as, I believe, lock of the century.
I think that's what we said.
As big of a lock as Dylan, is the words came out of my mouth, potentially. And rolled by 10 strokes.
By an up-and-comer.
Yeah, all in the final round. They were tied going in the final round, and a 894 rated 74, which is almost 100 points above Kristen's rating, compared to an 817 rated 84, which is just a little bit below George's rating, was enough. Like, beast final round there for Kristen.
I know some pretty good NPO players that shot a plus 10 final round on the gold.
Yeah, exactly. Is that what that was? Oh, man, that's pretty good. That's a very good round then.
Yeah, it's on golds. Like, they played the FA1, they played all golds, plus 10 final round. Just huge. Well done, Kirsten.
Big. So, yeah, definitely one to look out for. Do we know where she's from? Are we going to see her battling it out with Georgia and stuff at all?
She's from up north, maybe Newcastle way,
Yeah, okay.
northern New South Wales, Adamstown, is what her PDJ is telling me. If my geography is correct, that's up the coast some ways.
So we might
Yeah.
not see too much of her, but yeah, we'll
Well,
have to, yeah.
yeah. Well, yeah. There's nothing in regards to upcoming events, but played the Sizzler. Obviously, played this. Maybe she's touring a bit.
Cool.
Yeah,
Sounds good.
got it done at Sizzler as well. So we don't sleep on Kirsten moving forward. She's gonna have two W's sitting in that, and second at Molong Cup. Who got her done at Molong Cup? Maybe that was Kyrie. Kyrie got her at Molong Cup. But yeah, Kirsten can play.
Yeah, well, Georgia and Emma got some work to do. They're going to start seeing a bit more comp like that.
Yeah.
All right, in the MA1. So I was full of beans. We were going through the holes, talking about how easy disc golf will be. And yeah, not quite. I felt great going into the round and threw an absolute peach of a drive off hole one. And then for some reason, just decided I couldn't throw any more for about 8 holes. It was crazy. I threw as good as a drive as you can on hole one, and I took a bogey. I was
Yeah.
like, oh, this is concerning. And then, yeah, I don't know. Nothing crazy, but it didn't feel great. And then a pretty average score. And then next day felt incredible and did one of the worst things I've ever done in disc golf. So it kind of threw the round away. And the third day felt trash and shot the same as the first day. So I don't know. But plus 24 for me overall. I don't know what it was. Barely above 900 rated event. So sick.
Sick.
ended up with a four-way tie in the end with Cam, Hardy, and Casper. And my final day, I was on a card with Hardy and Casper. No, sorry, Hardy and Cam. I think I was two ahead of Hardy and four ahead of Cam. And yeah, they played pretty good. So yeah, one of them managed to get two back on me and one of them managed to get four back on me. So just to make a cute little tie.
Nice work.
But yeah, I don't know, bro. I predicted a plus eight for myself and I thought that would get me into fifth, but a plus eight would have me right in the mix. So the MA1 boys did not fire up quite as much as I thought they might.
No, that is
So,
true.
yeah, not sure quite how that goes, but the ratings are kind of indicative. Maybe I was just off base. So, in general, to win an MA1 tournament, you want to be shooting around 950 rated, I think, unless someone's doing something pretty special. But normally, that gets you pretty much done. And Benedict O'Byrne shot a little over 950 rated, so. I played with him in the first round and he wasn't shooting very good, like throwing very well off the tee, but just upshots were so good. These amazing forehand upshots, just putting everything to 5 meters and then hitting the 5 meter putt. Very nice. So just finding his way to par. And yeah, he must have continued that on. So looked real good. And takes out the W by 2 strokes over Ethan Lewis. And then a few more back is Tim Davis. And it was a bit of a ring-a-ding-ding between Benedict and Ethan. But a late bogey, or late double bogey, I think, actually, for Ethan
Hole
on
15.
hole 15.
Yep.
Yeah, turned the tide. And I think they might have all parred out from them.
Yep. They were tied going into hole 15. And yeah, then Benedict gets it done by two.
So yeah, we'd seen his UDisc scores and they were pretty hot, so we should have backed the boy in.
We should have.
So yeah, no, he's definitely one to watch. And with the next event being in Ballarat at Mount Xavier, I think he might have another victory coming his way.
Yeah, true that, true that.
But good to see Ethan up and about, and yeah, Tim Davis is always there. Chris Scott there in fourth. A little down on what I was thinking he was going to do, but still a nice event. And Daniel Small, who played with Hardy the first round and shot like a plus 11. But Hardy just said, nah, man, like he played good. He just got screwed.
Yep.
And he showed a bit of that with, I think, an even or maybe a one even. Over. Yeah, an even round two. And then a plus 3 round 3 to crawl him up from, yeah, well behind me originally to well above me. So, yeah, even a half-decent first round or sounds like just a bit of luck and he could have been in contention as well. So, good to see yeah, him playing well. Tied in fifth with my man Ed Hairslime.
That guy can play dice.
Ed, yeah, he loves dice. And he's just such a believable liar. It's really hard to catch him out.
Yeah.
But it's good being on the right of him. I know he doesn't like it, but he almost never calls for anyone playing at home. He almost never calls you out. He's just the auto raiser, as long as it's not too ridiculous.
Yeah.
We saw Tommy Jankar move up. He just wanted to play 3 rounds on the Golds, and he got himself an 11th out of 26, so looking pretty at home there, Tommy, in the MA1s.
Might have to hang around.
Don Carter, too, another name we were sort of talking about. Not the greatest first round, but, pretty great second and a decent third. Had him sort of sneaking up in there. And then, myself. Ideal. Troy Faramond, though, horrendous finish. Like 66 first round, which was what? One plus one or two?
Two.
So plus two, and then shoots a 77 and then an 82. I have no idea what happened.
We're crazy. Plus two followed by a 13 and an 18.
Crazy. So well, I don't understand that. So, very odd, especially here local as well. So, yikes. All right, let's move on to the MP40s.
What happened here? I just wish there was coverage.
This was spicy.
Yeah.
So, it became pretty evident that it was a two-horse race, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Ruben Berg and Ryan Johnson. And through the front 9 holes of the final round, it was looking like a one-horse race. Ryan Johnson was well out in front.
Yeah. I want to do the maths. How can I figure this out? After round two, they were tied. But then he had a 5-shot lead with 9 to play.
Oof. I mean, I know it's Invalid Gold and anything can happen, but they were playing good golf. So you surely hold on to that lead.
Surely.
But apparently not. Just little by little, just bogey by bogey, right? There was no like monster blowouts.
This is his last 5 holes. And I want you to pay particular attention to his last 3 holes. He doubles the 14th. All right, and Ruben's already had a couple of birdies. So now it's back to just one shot in it after 14 holes.
And 14's not the one you want to be doubling. That's tough.
You're obviously that's a tough OB double. And then shanking your approach to not get up and down for bogey. But he then turns around and birdies the 15th. And Ruben takes the bogey. So now it's back out to a 3-shot lead, 3 to play.
Oh, boy.
And he goes bogey, bogey, double. And all Ruben has to do is par, par, par to take a 1-shot victory.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy.
But they did seem to push themselves out there as the cream of the crop when it comes to the Aussie selection. Because they were both way out ahead with Finney and Dazza.
Yeah, but, not going to go into the Aussie the selection too deep, because we actually got together last night, made some choices in that space.
Well, but, I can make some predictions. I assume Ruben is in like Flynn, and I think we knew that beforehand. But I think this cements it, and I think this would have been a good one to solidify Ryan Johnson's case as well, but. Seeing as he's not playing, I think Dazza had to probably do a power of work to beat Finney out. So I think it must come down to one of the WA locals in Finney and Noisy. So I guess we'll see how that one shakes out. When can we expect an announcement, do you think?
Soon. It's been passed on to the High Performance Committee. So watch this space. I would be surprised if it's not out on the airways before or at least during the weekend.
Nice. And we got to do a practice round with Craig Sheether, who's a Canadian by way of Australia.
Correct.
And he's a nice dude, and he played some pretty good disc golf. So he ended up in third place there, ahead of Finney and Dazza, and the Melton meatball himself, Josh Smith, in sixth place.
Yeah. Not bad for an MP50 player in Craig Sheether. Good performance.
Yeah. Yeah, for a long course, he did really well. Plus 11 overall is nothing to be sneezed at. In the FBO, we missed this one, didn't we?
A little bit. Like, we revved her up after league and saying how that's going to be in the mix. But
we just ignored her completely.
Yeah, and then just ignored her. We kind of just went to sleep on it in the end.
Crazy. So we are, of course, talking about Hussey. And she gets it done by 5 strokes over Cassie, who we thought we both tipped as who was going to be the winner there. But, yeah, never really looked like it. So it was only 1 stroke the difference after round 1, but then pushed out to a few after that. And then, yeah, it just seemed to be it was 4 strokes constantly the whole way through of round 3. Ends up pushing out to 5 in the end. So well done, Huss.
Big final round by Gina Hill.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so pretty slow start with a plus 21 and a plus 24, but then just shaving the life off that and finishing with a plus 8 is a good way to round out the event by Gina. Well done. I've already mentioned Turton for obviously Team UK, but well done to Huss for a selection in Team UK and... Sorry, Team Australia.
Yeah, it might have been a bit of a miss there as well. So
yeah,
she never actually put her hand up for selection, though. I don't think.
No, she didn't. She didn't.
The UK might have gained a pretty good one there, because that could be a good battle in Perth in a few months. Huss versus Cassie. Yeah,
exactly.
And Melbourne's own Hayley Cooperrider, she got onto the lead card after round 1 with some pretty good golf and managed to hold that spot the whole way through. So, pretty good gap between herself and Gina, despite Gina's final round heroics.
I'm sure that was an awesome experience for Hayley. I'm hopeful that she got a lot out of that.
Indeed. All right, now the FBO, big field, 32 players. Field, 32 players and a lot of killers. All the big boys down here for the event, yourself there as well. And it did not disappoint, did it?
It did not. Before we get into obviously how well I performed, I do want to highlight that I, when I did my predictions, I said I would shoot a plus 1, and that would get me 12th. Ring a ding ding. Plus one would have netted me 12.
There you go. Yeah, well, you're a lot closer there than I was with mine.
That's happy with that. Geez, what a cool event. And what a cool performance by a bunch of players. What have we got? 3 players playing 1,000 rated events. 4 players, sorry, because there was a T3 playing 1,000 rated events. And Dan Frost with a 991. So, yeah, some pretty elite disc golf on show.
Definitely.
Yeah, I got to play round 1 with Paddy Robinson, Jade Brady, and Rigby. Round 1, I never played with Adam Rigby before, so that was cool. And yeah, Paddy had lots of looks down the stretch and was had a pretty solid round one, but just didn't capitalize down the stretch, unfortunately, with the amount of looks that he had. But yeah, it's still a pretty solid performance by Paddy to come in sixth. And obviously there was the 10 players that finished under the card. Is that more or less than what you're expecting?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, it's probably about right from what I was thinking.
Yep.
Yeah, probably about there. It wouldn't be much less, I would have thought. How about you?
Yeah, with how the thought the course was playing, and the fact that I thought plus one would get me 12th, I think, yeah, that's about the amount of people I thought would get under the card as well, I think, yeah.
Well, we knew it was going to be about 960 rated, and there was, yeah, at least 10 guys there that were 960 rated. So yeah, it had to be about that. We didn't actually, we should have thought about this, do a little bit of the prep on... Yeah, what the Nationals versus this scores were. So we might have to come back to that one once we've put a bit more thought into it. But do you, off the top of your head, do you remember what Dill shot to win Nationals?
No, not off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Well, yeah, we'll do a bit more of a deep dive into that. But I think we sort of, yeah, we sort of got it right. We knew Parr was going to come in around 960, and I think it did every day.
Well, so Blake finished the event even, and he got a 970 event. So, I think I think it's fair to say that even was 970.
Yeah,
it was like each round was different. So, yeah, it was 96 something, and then it was 97 something. But yeah, he's had an event even, and it's come out 970. So let's call it 970 for even.
Yeah, well, that's about what I played at Nationals then. So.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. But yeah, we digress. Dill Feldman with the two-stroke victory from the chase card. So what was it? A neg 7 first round, an even second round, and a neg 8 third round?
Correct.
Beast.
Beast.
Absolute beast. Did you know neg 8 was out there?
Well, it's interesting. We, during the Park Clubhouse, Cassie, I think it might have been, said minus 21 or win it, which obviously implies, you know, basically 3 minus 7s, which Dylan went to sleep round 2. So that didn't transpire. But, yeah, minus 8's very good. Minus 8 yeah, is very good.
Yeah, I think I might have scoffed very vigorously at Cassie's suggestion of neg 21. So after round one, I was a bit worried, but I did say 15. I said, nah. I said, not, that's too much. I said 15, and that's what he got. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think sometimes I've told a few people this, but you shouldn't ask what's going to be the winning score. The question should be what's going to be the score that comes second.
Yeah.
Because like if Dylan had a run away with it and shot minus 22, sure, the winning score was minus 22, but minus 14 would have got it done.
Yeah. Exactly. What wins it, not what will win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Dave Perry was there in neg 13, so great event by him. No surprise that at a super hard course over 3 rounds, the 2,000 rated boys end up neck and neck there at the top.
Does David Perry have a monkey on his back?
Could be.
Has David Perry won a major?
I don't think so.
Did David Perry just lose a major from someone on Chase Card?
Yes, he definitely did.
And does David Perry have a monkey on his back?
Maybe he does. 980 final round does kind of imply a monkey.
Yeah.
I think he lost it to Dill by a stroke at Sizzler as well. If I'm remembering correctly.
Something like that.
Yeah. Or, sorry, might have lost to, not Dill, but to Jade, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't actually know because I'm still waiting for the coverage to come out, but I heard rumors of something like that. But, yeah, it does sound like Dave just has that bit of a AB monkey.
I wasn't there for hole 15. I was there for 16 and 17 though.
Yeah.
So when I got back to, when I tapped out on hole 18, just one of the chase cards, it might've been chase card or something like that, whatever card I was on. Yeah. And the boys weren't there waiting for me with a can or anything. So I was like, oh, they must be with the crowd. So I ran off to the crowd to follow these lead cards with the boys. Couldn't see you in the crowd there, but I caught up with David Perry, and his drive on 16 landed near the white tee pad. And if you can picture where the white tee pad was on 16, that is not a good drive.
Yeah,
that's where his drive. That's where his drive on 16 landed. He then pulled off some sort of miraculous shot and put it to 10 meters. Like, I don't even know how he did it. I went and stood. I did like one of the classic, like, ground reporters. I went and stood on his lie after he walked off, and I was like, how the hell did he get to the basket from here? And then he sunk the 10 meter putt on hole 17. Gandalf, or one of the trees near Gandalf, got the absolute better of him and shot him into the acacia on the right, well short, well short, then proceeds to do the same thing again and puts it to like 3 meters from absolutely nowhere. Jesus. So he saves par on 16 and 17 and obviously pars out on 18, but by then, like, he needed to have been birdieing because Dylan had already obviously charged the lead by that point.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's cool. Well, at least we'll be able to get to see that. Unfortunately, Dylan's amazing round was on chase cards, so we'll never see that one.
No.
And Ryan Hart shot an eagle neg 8, and that's also on chase card.
Yep.
So all the action in the final day was on chase card, unfortunately, but two just incredible scores from those boys. Yeah, put Ryan Hart up into third place, tied with Alex Canastin.
Yeah, a good event by him too. Taking down his mate in Blake Houston pretty comfortably. So that's bragging rights to Alex on the flight home.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So you tipped yourself going to finish plus one.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And what was your final score?
I'm just scrolling. Got tired fingers. Plus 16.
So 15 off the pace.
Yeah.
And I predicted myself a plus 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up finished with a plus 24, which is 16 off the pace.
Correct.
Shit. So I guess you were a bit more accurate than I was.
I win by a shot.
But fair to say, both real trash predictions.
Yeah, pretty trash, pretty trash. Final round killed me. Plus 10 final round hurt. But, yeah, pretty trash predictions.
What about our pick sixes? Do we fare better, any better in that?
Mine went all right. Hang on. I know what you're talking about. That pick six. Well, I can pick six.
Yeah.
There's too many
no,
pick sixes.
No, I can
tell
you mine did not go all right. So, no. I went with the three we all went with was Dill, Georgia, and Daz. Dill locked,
yep.
Georgia 10, and Daz 12. So, poor picks there. And then Seb, Chris Scott, and Al Don were my next three. Seb and Chris Scott were 17 or 11 and 6 respectively, and Aldon he lost the playoff, but he was zero strokes behind his leader, so nice zero there. But yeah, what's that, 10 20 39, which not good scoring, I can't imagine.
No. Mine, Georgia Carroll got second but was 10 shots back. Cassie Sweeten also got second but was 5 shots back. Ruben got the W. Carroll got the W. Dylan got the W. Daz was not in second and was 12 shots back. Mine totals to 27. I get it done by 12 shots over you.
Big.
Yeah.
Our listeners are much better than us. So,
oh, so much better.
Alex Evans is always good at our little side games. It's starting to get worrying. But so he picked, what, Dave Perry?
Dave Perry, so, two strokes.
Two. Huss, the win.
Just Huss, Ruben,
the win.
Yep.
Yeah, Aldon, the win. And Tim Ware won back for a whopping three strokes, 3 points off the pace.
You've only mentioned five players. He tipped a sixth player.
Yeah, who was that?
He tipped, this is no word of a lie, on the Thursday before the event even started, he sends in his tips and he says, and I would like to add the anonymous participant to my tips. So those five plus the anonymous participant. For those paying attention throughout the podcast, you will also know that anonymous participant also took the W.
Got the W.
So Alex ends up with a total of just three strokes across six players.
Kicked our ass.
Smashed us. No one else has beat that. That's just absolute fire. Yeah, and he catted for the Cass final round as well. He's had a good weekend, Mr. Nice. Evans. Yeah.
Well done, Alex. So we'll get one thing. Honeyman had me talking about when we're playing a league social day together the other week. He came up with a great idea of a segment called Between Two Chains. And for anyone who hasn't seen Between Two Ferns, then you are missing out in your life. It is 100%. Hilarious. Just a very funny YouTube channel with Zach Galifianakis. And he asked just celebrities lots of really awkward questions. So we thought we would try our hands at it. So Honey and I had a couple interviews with some of the people finishing after our rounds on the first day. And I've spliced it all together. It's a bit raw, but yeah, should we have a listen to the first of maybe many Between Two Chains?
Looking forward to it. I obviously was out on the course, so we're going to hear it for the first time.
All right, let's go. We're here with Chris Hart. Chris Hart, you're a local here, down here a lot. How come you weren't able to find any local lines today?
I found a couple, but I found a lot of trees. Yeah. I don't know, it just wasn't on.
No?
There's a couple of dirty holes out there.
Mm.
And they're pretty straight, but I got them wrong.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, did a bit of soldier golf on a couple of holes.
Yeah.
Good question. Right. Yeah, that's fair, mate.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how it feels that your daughter had to pick up disc golf just to get a little bit of your attention.
You've got to include your whole family in this game. You have to.
Yeah.
She's quit again.
Actually,
she's retired.
She got a win.
But she's better than you, Al, because she's two from two
she's
wins.
Two from two.
She's played two tournaments.
I'm two from 600.
She's 100% victory, which we can't say that.
Excellent.
And she beat Rhino and I in putting comp in Mount Gambier. She was in last, and we were both out. And she gave it stick to me, too.
Nice. Yeah. Well, thanks for your time, mate. Good luck tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Is that your mum's hair colour?
Yeah.
He actually matched his dad's shirt, thank you.
Yeah, it matches dad's pubes. Sorry, guys. Yeah, we're here with Chris Finn. Chris, nice putt there to finish on 18. Come good out of the hand?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, I can't believe how good I was putting this afternoon, taking a bogey when it should have been a birdie.
Shattered. Oh, yeah, you did miss that one. Sorry about that. But yeah, playing all right. You're there with a lot of the contestants for the field for the national team. So who out of Dazza, Ryan and Ruben do you think should be the two people competing for the MP40 spot?
Yes.
I think I'll take one spot, so then we'll see who's left out of those three.
Okay, cool. No worries. Sweet. All right, thanks for your time, mate.
So good.
Hey, Daz.
Hi.
I was just wondering, are you excited to go home and tell your family that you finished middle of the pack today?
Very much so.
That's good.
Actually, I'll have a few beers.
And with the headphones in, can you still hear all the trees that you're hitting?
I hear my failures. Very loud and clear. Watch them, hear them.
That's all right. No, well, at least it's not a lefty-friendly course. Thanks for your time, Dad. Beauty, here with Luke Bain, just finished up. Just curious, Bain, what do you think is dirtier, that putt you missed on 18 or your mustache?
Mustache for sure.
Yeah, mustache.
Although it's getting better, I'll be honest.
Yeah, thickening out a little bit.
It's we'll only taken like yeah. 5 years, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Another 5, you'll be there, mate.
Yeah.
Straight to jail, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Straight to jail.
I understand you've been pretty vocal about the pro purse on the Vic Open. I was just wondering what the percentage of the pro purse was on the last tournament you ran.
The last tournament I ran was a fundraiser, and the payout was zero. So, does that answer?
That sounds like less than 50%, but anyway, thanks for your time, Benny.
Timmy Bowen, welcome to Between Two Chains. You've been real vocal about the pros not playing with the AMs. Do you really think you're much better?
I was actually saying I should be playing with the AMs, so I'm just looking for an excuse to go back to MA1, if I'm being real.
Well, you're currently 9.67 rated. How does it feel to have peaked?
That's a good question. How does it feel to have peaked? Well, I probably just put in an 8.67 round, so I'm feeling pretty lousy, if I'm being real.
Just wondering, what comes to mind first? Your hot round at Inverley or your son's birthday?
Son's birthday.
All right, thanks for your time, Timmy.
Sorry to
Nath Parrish. I don't see any questions for you on my list because I just thought you'd finish well before me. Sorry, mate. We're here with Ryan Hart. Had a solid 8 birdie round, so must have finished 8 under, yeah?
Yeah, not exactly.
No,
Exactly. Just a solid 3 under.
Oh, okay.
8 birdies.
Yeah, cool. No, fair enough.
Just normal.
Nice. Nice.
Now that Ellie has started playing tournaments, how does it feel to have lost your father's love?
Not great, but still hasn't stopped me playing disc golf, I guess. But
nice. Maybe a couple less bogeys and you can win it back. Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Aiden, welcome to Between Two Chains. I was just wondering, Benny's been on the wait list for a while.
Yep.
He made it in, but did you ever consider about giving up your place just so you give it to a player with an actual chance of winning?
I believe that would be a terrible idea because there wasn't enough cash on the line anyway for it to matter.
Nice. Fair enough, mate. Fair enough. I followed you as a player for a while. You've got an admirable style. Clearly modelled yourself after Dave Perry. I was just wondering, why did you choose to model yourself from the ass first?
Because that's probably the most important feature for a disc golfer, I reckon.
There you go. No, fair enough. Power from that big glute.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
It.
You are pretty good at sports, good at a few different sports, but does it help fill the void from not being able to get onto roller coasters?
Sorry, that took me quite a while to get that one.
Went over your head, did it?
Yeah, it did.
Hard.
Yeah, not wrong, mate. Roller coaster, schmoller coaster.
All right, thanks for your time, mate.
No worries.
Chris, your NPO field is filled with both talent and looks. How does it feel to be the only one with just looks?
Pretty well. Pretty good, actually. I'll take that all day. That's how I read it, and it's on my card in particular. There's just not a bit of physical attributes about them. So, got them covered, that's for sure.
And you've forever been known as the guy with maybe the best putt in the NPO. Have you ever thought about bringing up the rest of your game?
Shit. I thought about it once, but it's hard. It's tough.
It's a tough sport, man. It's a tough sport. You do well out there.
Thank you. That's a good one.
No, all right. Thanks for your time, Chris.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. The first episode of Between Two Chains. What do you think?
You've killed it. You've killed it. I hope we can hear it all over my laughter. I think there won't be a problem because there's definitely been some recording challenges at my end. I don't know when my recording dropped out. It's definitely back in now, but that'll be for you to figure out when you're putting this all together, Alan.
Oh, sick.
But that's just, there's some absolute gold in there. Just the off the cuff about Aiden's vertical difficulties that he has was particularly enjoyable, and making Finney pick the team and not listing him. Nah, there was some gold in there. Good stuff, boys.
Yeah, definitely had a few people throwing some ideas at me the night before when we were sitting around the table drinking and playing dice. A lot of them not suitable for podcasts, but I managed to salvage some good ones and take the dirt people gave me and turn it into gold, I think. So
nice.
No, it was a lot of fun. Love that Honeyman came up with that. I think that's hilarious. I think we will definitely be doing more of that. So if you have any awkward questions you want to ask any of the pros or just anyone at all, let us know. And then we might be able to squeeze that into the next Between Two Chains.
I love it.
All right, have we got Spotlight Not Lights?
I do.
Excellent. You want to start us off?
Yep. My not light is going to go to Daz. Darren Stay Smith, Daryl, as I spent most of the weekend with, 24 missed C1 putts for the weekend.
Oh, that's so many.
It's so many. Like, I literally missed four, like, for the weekend. And he's missed that time six. He lost by 12. And he missed 24 C1 putts. And I kind of read it going in the other direction. I kind of read him winning by 12. So he has to get my not light this week. He knows it's coming and it's out on the airwaves now.
Fair enough. I got an honorable mention. Oh, have you got? Oh, no, you've done your not lights. I got an honorable mention not light. Only an honorable mention because the guys at Pike Media already went with it. With Tim Bohan and his fake ace. Getting a second shot ace in a practice round and then putting it on the scorecard and just adding a stroke to the next hole is some of the worst shit I've ever heard.
Oh, and chucking it out on socials. Like, it's just this ace thing that he did.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. So ridiculous.
I've got one of the best aces in Victoria, a hole 18 at Ballarat, and that was a second shot ace, and it didn't make my scorecard, so the hell, Timmy?
I'm pretty sure it didn't even make your socials. I'm pretty sure hardly anyone even knows about it because it was a freaking second shot ace.
But anyway, that's got to be pretty bad, my not light, after that being the honourable mention. But it has to go to how I specifically played hole 15 at Vic Open. So hole 15 is probably the most cleared up of any of the holes for the whole tournament. And it has become like easier than ever before. And I played it for +7 over the weekend. So round one, double bogey. Kicked the tree, kicked that first tree, hit, went right, just lots of scramblies. It was bad. Not great at all. But I was like, yeah, all right, whatever, that sucked, double bogey. Next day, no, I'm not worried about that at all. Hit that same tree, kick right again, scrambled pretty good, get to the corner after three. So easy upshot for a bogey. Instead, I just throw this crazy nose-up, floaty piece of shit, and it never lands at all on the flat. It just slides all the way down, almost to the OB dam, just shy. And Brennan Venton's there as well. He's on my card, and he cans it. So I'm like, all right, whatever. It's not that far. I'll can mine as well. But nah. Does the rail slide on the cage, shoots the like 7 meters or something like that away from the dam. So I'm putting back at the dam, but I'm like, whatever, I've been putting all right lately. I'm not worried about this at all. Worst part I've done in forever. I genuinely wasn't. I was like, nah, it's fine. You just bang this. All good. Another double, whatever, you suck, but can this. Worst part I did of the weekend by far, airballed it straight into the dam. And then from there, another attempt up, misses, and tapped in for the 9. Took a plus five on that hole. So it's been well over a year since I've taken a triple bogey. I'm pretty sure anyway. And then, yeah, take that +5. That is, that's like, it's so hard to do. It's hard to take, if you're decent at this golf, it is hard to take a 9. On a hole like that. So, it was rough. It was real rough. I was playing pretty good up until then that round as well, too. And then, yeah, managed to get a birdie putt on it on the final day, but missed that. But yeah, that's hole 15, me just getting destroyed by it. So what was that, plus 24 and plus 7 on one hole. Sick.
Nice. Could have been one shot behind me.
Yeah, exactly. Gets my not light.
All right. My spotlight goes to a chap that, as we've mentioned before on this podcast, and we love hanging out and spending a weekend, but we know this about the man, but he just drives this point home again and again and again. But this man is got to be one of the strongest men on the piss I've come across in the last decade. And Gareth G Train Morgan, God, that man is a machine. He just puts them back, no dramas whatsoever, dominates everyone at bloody cornhole in the process, and it just doesn't have an off switch. The man would just never sleep if, like, the rest of us just demanded it at some given point. I'm impressed. I'm absolutely in awe, impressed. Gareth Morgan, you are a machine. You get my spotlight.
Yeah, it genuinely is. He's never ever been the last one to go to sleep. Like, he's all, if one person's up, he's up.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's normally pushing people pretty hard to stay up.
Yeah.
And the cornhole thing was so frustrating. Oh, it just kept beating me. I was real annoyed. Real annoying. I was playing good too. I was banging a bunch of them, and then he'd get me. You miss one, he's like, oh, cool, I'll put two in. You're like, oh, piece of shit. Now, a good spot. Mine is along the same. Well, I'll do an honorable mention first. Same thing. I had this written down for ages. Not written down. I just had it in my head for ages and never wrote it down, so I never got to it. But if you go to Daz's PDJ page, he has himself listed as living in Smoko, Victoria.
So good.
Which I think is hilarious. The park crew finally, like, got that out there, because I've been holding on to it for ages. Another honourable mention will be the Park Boys live show. I thought that was a lot of fun. I don't think the audio worked for the people who were not there, but stuff them. I don't give a shit. We were there and it was fun. There was a good group of, like, 20-odd people there, and, yeah, we just come after a few beers watching the Anzac Day game, and... that was really good. I really enjoyed that. And then, yeah, the actual spotlight just goes to how fun tournaments and stuff are. So, yeah, we had a good crew in our little house, but we spent most of our time at the course playing cards.
Yeah, facilities, yep.
Yeah, playing dice, playing glow golf, playing cornhole, just real good crew of people out there and just having a good fun. Yeah, a lot of good fun times, and that's what it's about. That's why I enjoy playing these disc golf tournaments. The disc golf is sort of inconsequential. So thanks for everyone who helped make it a fun weekend for me. You get my spotlight.
Great stuff. Good spotlight. Absolutely fitting. Still recovering.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. All right, well, big pod, so I'm glad we managed to get through it all before you got taken away for parental duties. But you better pop in there now and see how little Theo's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Peace out, guys. Been a pleasure.
All right, thanks for listening. Until next time. Ooh, sorry. Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Time.